Chapter 17. One by one they came aboard the Houndstooth. They arrived by shuttle or gunship, some even in the booming flare of teleportation. Most of them wore simple robes, unmarked and with heavy cowls raised to mask their faces. A few came in their full panoply as they met to swear oaths and do their duty. The duty of saving the 12th Legion. Centurions, captains and sub-commanders from nearly one-third of the World Eater's companies present above Genna had come in answer to Majo's summons. The commander of the Unbroken had only contacted those whose loyalty he could be sure of, warriors born of terror, whose first tongue was Gothic and not Nagrakali, who had once marched to battle as warhounds, brothers whose minds had not been seduced by the promise of the butcher's nails. Like the allied chieftains of a war council of ancient times, they assembled in an isolated corner of Majo's ship, where the leader of the Unbroken waited with Astakos and Hanno at his side. Majo had sent Orontes to the Conqueror to oversee resupply to the Hound's Tooth. It grieved him, but Majo knew his brother's heart. He could not trust him to join this council, or even to know of its existence.
"I have gathered us all here," Majo began once the last of the commanders arrived, "for a purpose. There is no rank here. Each of the voices in this room carries equal weight. No ear that is not present now will hear of what is said."
Majo studied the World Eaters filling the chamber.
"I will not waste time. Ever since the day of our Primarch's discovery, our Legion has been poised over a precipice. Angron has long demanded that each and every one of us submit to the butcher's nails, the same implants that torture and madden him in his every waking moment. He has set no limit on the resources expended to replicate them, and each of us knew that the day would come when the means to do so would be achieved. That day has come."
Murmurs rippled through the assembled commanders. Warriors exchanged glances, tense and incredulous.
"And you know of this how?"
demanded Koragar, captain of the 21st Company. Majo gave a nod to his fellow centurion and gestured to a member of the crowd.
"I present Brother Beer of the Apothecarian."
The white-armoured apothecary stepped from the onlookers to stand at Majo's side.
"I have seen it with my own eyes," said Beer. "Garland Serlac has found the key within the things we fought on 9315. He has reverse-engineered the technology of the Genon simulacrums and found a link to the Primarch's implants by an ancient standard template construct Archaeotech. He will use that to recreate the butcher's nails in a fashion that can be safely implanted across the entire Legion."
"What Beer has said is true. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I have heard it from Garland's own lips," said Majo. "This I swear."
For years, the butcher's nails had been a threat looming on the horizon, but remaining on the horizon. Now that threat was upon them, and this new reality sowed discord amongst the World Eaters in a din of conflicting voices.
"If we refuse the nails, all of us united, what can Lord Angron do?"
one centurion asked.
"This cannot be allowed to pass," said another. "Serlac must be stopped."
"No matter the cost,"
said another.
"If we must empty the Conqueror and starve its heart to make that ship Angron's prison out in the void, then we must do so."
"Who are you to decide such a thing?"
demanded Goss of the 85th.
"The Emperor brought Angron into being by his own hands. Suddenly you know better than our genes, sire."
"It's not any one mind who will decide," said Majo,
holding out his arms to demand quiet.
"It is all of us. We must decide now, while we can, what we will do about this."
Majo felt every eye upon him and continued.
"If you seek the contents of my thoughts, I will tell you now. The Legion cannot accept the butcher's nails. The Primarch's demands, the countdowns, the killing of our own, that all ends now. Garland's experiments cannot be allowed to bear fruit, and Angron must face the Emperor. For if any soul in this life can cure our Lord of the Nails, it is he. I have spoken of this with Lork. He will stand with us.
You went aboard the Conqueror and woke the First without their notice?
Asked Goss.
Where is he now? Why is he not here with us?
His presence would draw too much attention, Major replied. A third of the present Legion's command is risk enough. Having the First here, moving him from the Conqueror, would draw eyes we do not want watching.
What about Khan?
Korrigar finally asked.
Khan is our brother, said Major. He is the greatest of us. If we can help him to see the truth, the knife being held to our Legion's throat, he will stand against the Nails the same as we do.
You are speaking of insurrection, said Goss.
Conspiring here to overthrow our own Primarch. Even if such a thing were possible, even if we win, what do you really think is going to happen? That the Emperor will stand idly by while we bring Angron before him without taking action?
The Emperor created Angron, said Beer. He cannot be blind to his affliction. He has to understand what we are being forced to do. He could even help us. If we can take a ship,
no. Major shook his head firmly. Angron is our Primarch, and this is our Legion. This is no one else's duty but ours. We will not have the Emperor and his custodies come and do our duty for us. We will bring him before the Emperor. But we must do it ourselves.
And if the Emperor does not think as you believe he does? If he looks down upon all of this and deems that, mad or not, a Legion cannot be allowed to turn against its Primarch?
Then I will stand in the face of his judgment, said Major, and I will accept oblivion as a loyal son, with his eyes open and mind unbroken.
I was born on the throne world,
said Astakos, speaking for the first time since the council began.
The same as everyone here. I've travelled its surface beneath his banner, fighting in his name since the day I could walk. We killed anyone he commanded, even those he used to lead. We overthrew tyrants, the mad and the corrupt, because such things had no place in the Imperium he was building. We are all bonded in a shared dream of the future. If we cannot abide the future Angron is creating for us, then it is we who must chart the Legion's path.
The standard-bearer's words alloyed the assembled world-eaters. Centurions nodded and gave short bows of their heads to his words.
It's decided, then, said Majo. We will act to save the Legion.
How?
Asked Goss. First, the prototype Garland has created, said Majo. It must be destroyed, and all knowledge of its creation with it.
I'll do it.
Hanno stepped forward, his normally gregarious expression hard.
Tell me what to break to end all of this, and I will break it.
Garland must be stopped, and his work destroyed, said Major.
He looked out across his brothers.
Those that would stand against us are blind, blinded by the power of the Primarch and his favour. But they're still our brothers, and we do this just as much for them as for any other. What we do now must be done with as little blood as possible. Kinblood has already stained our hands for far too long.
Fists thudded against chests. World-eaters swore oaths to one another, to stand together against a future where the butcher's nails controlled their brothers. Pride swelled in Major's chest. The road ahead would be dark and bitter, but he would do anything to preserve the Legion.
Angron still sleeps, said Major.
He glanced at Beer, and the apothecary gave him a nod to confirm it.
By the time our Primarch awakens, Major declared, he will be on Terra with the Emperor to receive his care in mending his broken mind. And before the Legion is ever told of Garland's grand design, the Butcher's nails and the knowledge to recreate them will be ashes.